Glory to God. And we're going to be opening our Bibles to the book of Acts, our King James Bibles, to the book of Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look at a certain subject today that I sure hope I can do this. I'm trusting the Lord to help me. I know that without Him I can do nothing. But it's very vitally important that we understand certain things right now. But first we're going to sing a chorus unto the Lord as we move into this. We're going to sing that chorus, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. You took my sadness. You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do, I do. Praise His holy name. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Hand praise. Praise Him. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And just before we go into the Word of God, I'd like to mention that we have a baptism today. Michael Verdi, the man back in the corner here, in the Amen corner, back there by the door, can be baptized in Jesus' name, all the way from New Jersey. Amen. And for those of you that didn't figure it out yet, Brother Tim Sanger, sitting right back here, put your hand up there, Tim, has moved here. He has an apartment, and he found a job. He's excited about being here, and we're excited about having him here. So, praise the Lord. Amen. It's great to be able to have a place to go and worship God. Amen. I tell the Lord often, I'm so glad I got a place to go to church. That may sound a little funny, me saying that, but I'm serious, you know? Amen. You know, I don't know what I'd do otherwise if I had to go in one of these other places and sit there and watch the nonsense going on all the time. I truly feel sorry for these people. I really do. They've never felt the depth of the power of God, the drawing of His Spirit, as we feel it here as we go into His Word, because we're all believers here. That's why we're here. Amen. We believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. Amen. This world has gone absolutely berserk. Every week it's worse. And, you know, this morning it was quite early, about 3 o'clock or something like that. The Lord always seems to wake me up around that time. And so I usually pray about an hour or so or whatever it takes. And then after that, I don't really sleep much because when I pray, I spend a lot of time listening too. I don't just talk, I listen. I want to see, what is God going to show me today? What's He going to tell me? What's He going to reveal? The Lord will reveal things to your heart. He's the living God. He's made us alive in Him. We need to hear from God. I don't want to hear from some little church book or some little thing somebody's got going somewhere. I want to hear from God. Then we will know. And He will show us things to come. Amen. Well, first we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we are helpless without Thee. We have no power at all, except that Thou givest it us from above. Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst now lead and guide and direct us by the Holy Ghost. That Thou wouldst come into this place, O God, that Thou wouldst stir our souls, that Thou wouldst prepare us for Thy soon coming, for I know that it's at the very doors. And O God, I pray that Thou wouldst anoint us with Thy power. Give us ears to hear. Let thy word be dear to our hearts. O Lord, let all pride be gone. Let all contention be gone, except when we contend with the evil of this world. Lord, give us victory in the Holy Ghost, O God. Lord, let us decrease that thou might increase. Lord Jesus, let thy will be accomplished. Let thy mighty and holy name, O God, be praised. We come against every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power. O Lord, discomfort the enemy. Give us victory, O God, as thou leadest us, O Lord, through this wilderness. And we ask it in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood. Lord, give us understanding of thy word. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I was looking at situations. I was very, very troubled earlier this morning. And I get that way quite often as I look at the world. And, of course, my whole life is wrapped up in this. I'm constantly watching and praying and studying and researching. And I couldn't do anything but that because that's what God called me to do. And as I watch everything going on, I seek the Lord. And I was speaking with him this morning and asking him to show me what I should, and reveal to me what I should say today. And right now, I don't even know. He just gave me scriptures, so I don't know what's going to come forth. But he did give me a title for this, and I'll let you know what that is in just a moment. But I was looking at the world and all the trouble in it. And yes, I see the beauty of God in it. It's not all one-sided. God made this place beautiful. When he finished it, he said, "It is good." But something happened somewhere. And we're going to call the message, Hidden Causes Revealed. Hidden Causes Revealed. Why are things the way they are? Not only in our nation, but in the entire world. Everything, and I do mean everything, is crumbling. And none can deny it. People can look the other way and make believe they don't see it. Or they can listen to the meanderings of some of these so-called experts out there that are telling you things are going to get better and better, but the Lord is revealing things to us. We see that that is just not the case. You know, I read this report the other day about the scientists are puzzled, they're perplexed. Scientists? They're supposed to know everything. Well, they think they do anyway. Well, they were discussing, having a forum, and they were discussing this problem. The sun is cooling down. Now, what do you do about that? You know, for a while, Edmund de Rothschild said he had the answer to global warming. He said, what we'll do is build these massive generator plants that generate dry ice at the poles. And that'll keep things balanced, and that'll fix everything up. Well, he doesn't have to worry about global warming. Our sun is dying. Right now, it is at the coolest, dimmest point in all of recorded history. And they said we are now perhaps heading for a new ice age. Hey, I wouldn't worry about the ice age. We're heading for judgment. Because when a star, and the sun is a star, when a star cools down, it means that it will flare up again, and when it does, it's going to nova out, and you are going to have it scorching men with intense heat before it dies and goes out altogether. Does it sound like prophecy? Doesn't the Bible say that will happen? And when it goes out, when you think about the coming of the Lord, we talk about it, and that's about all we can do. We can't even fully imagine what it would be like. But when he does come again, he's coming to a dark world. The Bible says the sun will not give its light. The world will be in darkness when the Lord appears. And when he appears, it'll be the brilliant light, the brightness of his coming. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah when they had gone into the depths of homosexuality, like this country has. Come on. Sanctioned by the government. You know who's running our economy or has been put in charge of it? Barney Frank, the little pansy boy. No wonder we got trouble. Have you noticed that all of these people are as crooked as a barrel of fish hooks? Who can you trust anymore? Well, that's right. That's absolutely right. You can't put your trust in anything in this world. Then we got our president. Well, not my president, but the president of the United States, who really shouldn't even be there because he wasn't born in this country. And you've got him and Biden and sometimes Rahm Emanuel going down to that hamburger joint called Raise Hell Hamburgers. And they had in the media the other day, Obama has been to hell and back. Well, that's not a two-way trip to hell. But anyway, they've got this in Washington, D.C., and it's a very appropriate place for it. They've got a hamburger place, very well known, and it's called Ray's, R-A-Y apostrophe S. That's the guy's name, Ray. Ray's Hell Hamburgers. I wouldn't walk in a place like that. I wouldn't eat a hamburger that was called a hell hamburger. And that's what they call them. But Obama loves it. Well, I'll tell you what, there won't be any of those in hell for him to enjoy. But, you know, it's an awful, terrible thing when there's so much blasphemy going on and people make a big, oh, it's a big joke. It's all in fun. You know, is hell a joke? You see, what's going on in this world is everything is being torn down. Anything that had any moral fiber to it, any value, everything has been cheapened, brought down. Our industry, our banking system, our educational system has turned into an indoctrinational system. Everything is deteriorating. Our sun is cooling down. It's dim. No sunspots. They can't figure it out. What's wrong? How are we going to fix it? The sun? You're going to fix the sun? You know, they'll do everything except glorify God. They'll do everything except repent. Maybe they'll raise taxes. You know, maybe it'll be a sun tax. So they can, you know, put this money into... See, the government has never figured that out yet. That, you know, the way you fix something is throw money at it. Right? One thing they've never figured out is when you've got a problem and the government throws money at it, all they buy is more of the problem. We have a problem with drunks out in the street. What happens if you give them money? Does that solve the problem, or do you get more of it? On and on and on. Whether it be drugs or unwed mothers, or you name it, whatever, when you throw money at it, you get more of it. And that's been the experience. But I look at all of the distress in this world. You know, I looked at this picture of Gordon Brown of England, the Prime Minister, number 10 Downing Street. Why is he standing there giving a speech with a big swastika right behind him? What a photo op. Just a big, the red background, the black Hakenkreuz, as Hitler called it, swastika, right behind Brown. And they said, this is a great picture, in the caption, a great picture of Brown, too bad about the swastika. And people dismiss it. Well, somebody must have just... Would you have your picture taken next to one of those? And especially if you were in his position, that was done on purpose. You see, Nazism, communism, fascism, and all these other isms are now being blended together. And we see that it is a one-world ism that is forming. This was foretold in the Word of God. And so I sought the Lord on this. Why are all these things as they are? And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me it was not for any visible reason, but the cause of all these things, and the causes are invisible. And I knew what he was telling me. And so I was brought to Acts chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 1. And the Apostle Paul, you know, you look back at this man, and he faced every kind of obstacle imaginable. When you are in true Christianity and you are fighting the good fight of faith, it's not going to be just a wonderful, rosy life for you. You are going to run into trouble all the time. Sometimes even among others who claim to be Christian. And by the way, let me say this. One thing about a Christian is, you know, Christians need to realize we have to at least be nice to each other, right? Amen. Anything wrong with that?
No.
Sometimes people get these little pet things and they're going to nail that into you. All right, you believe it or you've had it. We need to grow together in the Word of God, right? Okay, have the nature of Jesus Christ, who was always kind. Just a little friendly advice to everybody. I don't think anybody's going to object to that and say, no, I want to be nasty. Amen. And you know, sometimes when I say things like that, people think, he's shooting at me. He's shooting right at me. I'm not shooting at anybody, but if it hits you, maybe it's supposed to. Well, anyway, glory to God. But anyway, we find in Acts chapter 19 that the Apostle Paul is running into trouble again. Now, he didn't go looking for it, but when you deliver the gospel into a crooked world, when you bring truth into a place where lies are everywhere, how does that fit in? There's a clash. There's a smash-up. Watch what happens. In Acts 19:1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Well, that's a good, valid question, isn't it? Shouldn't that be our expectation, to be filled with the Holy Ghost? We believe. It needs to happen. Some people, you ask them that, and they say, oh, don't tell me that. I'm a believer, and that's enough. All I have to do is believe. I believe. Believe what? Believe you're right? We believe the gospel in its fullness. We believe in the death of Jesus Christ. We believe in his burial. We believe in his resurrection. Therefore, we believe in repentance. We believe in baptism, buried with him in baptism. We believe in rising to walk in newness of life and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The gospel has not diminished. It has not changed. This is the faith once delivered unto the saints, not delivered and then delivered again and revised and delivered again. Once delivered. We are to earnestly contend for that. Therefore, we will. And so, he asks the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Sadly, that's the condition of the church world today. No wonder they're having trouble. You know, people go to these churches and they keep going and going through the motions. And they follow their church book, their catechism, their doctrines, and all these sorts of things, and they don't know the Lord. They've never met Jesus Christ. They'll use the word salvation, and they've never met the Savior. They've learned to memorize things. They've learned when to stand up, when to sit down, when the lights are to dim, and so forth. Now, we got a letter this past week from the Department of Health and Human Services, Dodge County, in conjunction with the state and the federal, and they said two things. One thing is, we're to abandon the use of the common cup for communion. That's the government telling us, you got to abandon that. And they said, no one in the congregation should shake anyone's hand unless they have hand sanitizer. Are they going to provide it? See, they live in fear, don't they? And they want to keep you in fear. See, everybody back there with a hand sanitizer, you know. Okay, now I'll shake your hand, right? We got a letter from the government. They said, you got to use hand sanitizer or no handshaking. What are they going to do next? Put somebody in here to watch? Okay. Anyway. I don't trust their sanitizer, that's for sure. In verse 3 it says, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily," in other words, it was a valid, true baptism, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." John pointed them to Jesus. These men had already been baptized by John. They were believers. Was it enough? No. They had to get baptized over again a second time. Some people say, "Well, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." I tell them, "No, you weren't. They didn't say the name, you weren't. The guy that put you in the water said he was going to do it and never did it. He didn't say the name." All right? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In all the book of God, you never find one example of baptism where they baptize saying the words, "Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." They obey the words, "Father, Son, and Holy Ghost," by saying the name. The power is in the name. The name brings the blood. Come on. Remember there over in Acts chapter 5 how they were objecting to the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, and he commanded them to not teach or preach in that name? Why? "These men intend to bring his blood upon us." Hey, they're forgetting something. They were asking for it before. "His blood be on us and our children," right? See, there was a little problem there. These demons that infested those people to cry out against Jesus, these demons prompted them to say, "His blood be on us and our children." Right? Now these demons had a problem. By doing that, the power of the blood came against them, the demons, who were doing the prompting. They painted themselves into a corner. Now they lost all their power. Come on, but it wasn't just one class of people. It was the Gentiles. It was the Romans. They were all guilty of what was done. But anyway, we find that these men were baptized and needed to be baptized over in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 5 says, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Well, that's how it was done. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. You know how many churches today are saying that's been done away with? When you say something like that's been done away with, you've done away with everything. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if one of them's gone, they're all gone. These all worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All of them. All or none. All or none. There's a song for you. All or none. Come on. You don't have that, you got nothing. And never will have anything. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. 3 months in a synagogue? Can you imagine? Why don't you try that sometime? Go over to Oshkosh or Fond du Lac, one of these synagogues, and bring him Jesus for 3 months. What do you think would happen? Paul went in there, a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, but now a Christian. He brought them the new covenant. Come on. He loved those people and he wanted them saved. There's no way for anybody to be saved other than by Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing. Disputing? Uh-huh. Yes. And persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, did everybody say, oh, here's wonderful, Paul. We all receive it. No, it says, but when divers were hardened, various ones, in other words, were hardened. See, the gospel will harden some people. Some people would be enraged. If you gave Barack Obama the gospel, he'd be enraged because his religion is everything. He worships the gods and goddesses of the Hindu religion. He'll even celebrate Cinco de Mayo, right? The 5th of May, although he flubbed that one too. When he invited all the Hispanic people in, he said, happy Cinco de Cuatro. The 5 of 4. They said he needs to work on his Spanish just a little bit. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. This guy was disputing all the time. Why? Because he was bringing forth the gospel, and just doing that causes a dispute. Paul wasn't trying to stir up trouble. He's trying to bring the gospel. And they resisted to the extent that there was trouble. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everybody in Asia. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Notice it wasn't Paul that did it. God did it at the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, there's a lot of ministries out there that sell these things. Prayer cloths. You know, send us $20, $50, and we'll send you an anointed prayer cloth. They haven't been anointed with anything. And if they were prayed over, they got a big forklift load of them in, did their little thing, you know, and okay, send them out. $50 a pop, right? And I'll tell you what, these evil spirits and sicknesses don't go out with those things. The only thing that happens is their bank account fills up. Isn't it sad? See, that's what the devil has done. He has destroyed everything. But what's behind all of this? Now we're coming to that. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, itinerant traveling Jews, okay, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. What? These Jews use the name of Jesus? Why, some would say, well, then they must have been saved. People get so confused. They will hear some of these politicians say, God bless you. And they go, oh, what a marvelous Christian he is. Huh? Do Masons ever say, God bless you? Yeah. I'm going to read something for you that I read on the internet on Thursday night. It's a quote by a very famous or infamous man. And this is Dr. Albert Pike. John, I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Albert Pike. This is what he said. This is from Morals and Dogma, pages 104 to 105. It's just a little paragraph. Must have been at the end of page 104. Albert Pike said, Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism and alchemy, conceals the secrets from all except the adepts and sages, or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. Now, what kind of an outfit is that? He also said on page 819, the Blue Degrees, the Blue Lodge, are but the outer court or portico of the temple. Parts of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine he understands them. Their true explication is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry. Based on secrecy, on misleading others, on deceiving others, what are the hidden causes for the conditions today? Can they be revealed? Watch what happens in this portion of the scripture in Acts 19, beginning now at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." Notice, he wasn't their personal Savior. They were trying to use the name. They were taking his name in vain. And God will not hold them guiltless that take his name in vain. Remember, the name brings the blood. And as I started to say earlier, in Acts chapter 5, where it tells about how they were commanded not to preach or teach in that name, how the Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees said, "He intends to bring this man's blood upon us." Where you find the name, you'll find the blood, either in blessing or in condemnation, but the name brings the blood. There's another song for you. Now, verse 14 says, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so." Seven men that would find, and there were plenty of them to find, a lot of demon-possessed people. Do you think there might be some around here, in the world here, in Beaver Dam? Think anybody in Madison could possibly be demon-possessed? How about Milwaukee? You think there are any? Hey, they're all over the place. There's a lot of them in Washington. They talk about these politicians that go out there with their pinstripe suits, you know, and they're all decked out. And they, you know, by the way, when they wear their neckties, sometimes red and blue and different, they're signaling. They have a color code. See, in the Masonic Lodge, dress is very, very important. The things that they wear. Of course, the tuxedo is the real dress uniform of the Masons, you know. That little place for the, you know, the boutonniere for that little acacia sprig and so forth. All, everything they do has a meaning to it. All that symbology, it all means something. But anyway, here are these seven Jews, and they are the sons of Sceva. Now they're coming to a man who's demon-possessed. Verse 15 says, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know." Isn't that great? They knew Jesus, they knew Paul. "But who are ye?" You're using the name, but who are you anyway? "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Seven men, and this guy jumped on them. It was spirit driven. These demons ripped them apart, tore their clothes off, beat them to a pulp, and you got seven naked Jews running down the street. That ought to make news. Come on, put that in the Capital Times. Of course, there's strange things going on down there anyway, but verse 17 says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." Wouldn't an incident like this interrupt a day? Now, what happened as a result of this? What's the explanation for these seven naked Jews running down the street? Having been beaten up by a demoniac, people begin to talk. News got out, and it shook people up. Boy, I'll tell you, people need to be shaken up. We don't need complacency. See, that's the problem today. People are apathetic. They watch so many movies, so many special effects, things they can do with cameras. This whole real life is just like a big movie. It's no big deal. When the popcorn's gone, everything's all right again. You know, out of the theater, they watch some horrifying thing going on, but they can walk out the door and it's the real world. Hey, the real world is in trouble. And you're not going to walk out of this one. There are things going on right now that are very, should be very disturbing to people, but many people seem to find a way to shrug it off and make believe it isn't so, and things are going to get better and better, and it's going to be, everything's going to fall into place, and the market's going to go up, and everybody's going to have money again. But the only ones really hiring right now, I know there are a few places, but the government. You get a government job. You can work for the socialists. You can become part of the system. I'm telling you, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the time will come when the government will own all of the airlines. They will own all mass transit systems. They'll own all the enterprises. There won't be free enterprise anymore. That's socialism. Marxist socialism. And the president that's in there right now is a Marxist socialist. And he is working his agenda. And it's visible. If you read the books, I don't know if anybody here has ever read Das Kapital. Engels and Marx. Anybody ever go to college and have liberal arts? You got all these commie professors. Why did the Communist Party of the United States donate $3 million to UW-Madison? Communist Party! Because they're buying something. The professors have certain ideologies that they believe in, they teach, they propagate. This has been going on for years and years and years. Because they built up a system. We have been in transition. Things are not as they were. You wake up someday and say, wow, how did this happen? How did we get here from there? As I mentioned in the last newsletter, if you could take our current conditions, everything, and shift it back 50 years, people living then would think they suddenly have gone to hell. Everything is so incredibly different. Now they got this dispute going on for that flyover in New York. Can you imagine the insanity of that airplane? It looked like Air Force One, except Obama wasn't on it. That's what makes a plane Air Force One. It could be a Cessna. If Obama's on it, it's Air Force One. But anyway, this big 747 flying over low over the Statue of Liberty, two F-16s on its tail. These New Yorkers are running out of the buildings, running down the streets, screaming, and don't know what to do. They thought they're under attack again. And it cost the taxpayers $250,000 for this little photo op stunt. And Obama made believe he didn't know anything about it. He made believe he was angry. Of course, he's not the actor Bill Clinton was. He is a very poor actor. Clinton had something. He could turn the tears on and off like a switch. That guy had a gift, and it wasn't from God. But these characters that are running the country right now, you wonder why there's trouble. What is it? What's the cause of all of this? What are the hidden causes? Well, as you will see, after this incident of these seven Jews failing in their attempt to use the name Jesus, which didn't belong to them, and word got out that this had all happened, something took place. It says in verse 17, and when this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, it says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. There were things going on that were not seen. Now I ask you, is anything going on in our country that is not immediately seen? Are there any secret meetings? Is everything out there for all to see? Do they ever shut their doors on you? You know, I'm not supposed to be preaching like this, according to them. Don't question anything they do. Don't question anything they say. They are the government. You are the common herd. You are less gifted. You don't know what's good for you. Now they got this swine flu. Of course, they had that avian flu. You know, the pig and the birds got together. And they found some willing people to collaborate with and came up with this strain. And all of a sudden, it's out there. Now, they said that there's going to be a much stronger one coming out, a much more lethal one, and it's going to hit the elderly. That's because you plant it in nursing homes and senior citizen centers so you can knock them off so you don't have to pay them Social Security. Useless eaters, as Hitler called them, right? You think that's far-fetched? Has humanity reformed? Have they suddenly turned over a new leaf and now they're benevolent and they're here to help you? When has that ever been the case? But see, you're not supposed to know these things. And they said it's going to take three, count them, three inoculations to combat the flu. This new one. Not one, three. You become a human voodoo doll. You become a dartboard, a pincushion. They don't ram that thing into you once, not twice, but three times. The power of three, right? As they use in witchcraft. And how many times do you run into threes in masonry, John? These guys have made a religion out of it. Yes, there are things behind the scenes. When these here at Ephesus showed their deeds, confessed, showed their deeds, then it tells us, well, let's see what it says. They showed their deeds, and many of them also which use curious arts, witchcraft, sorcery, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now that's a lot of silver, especially if you apply it to how it was back then. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When the things that were done in secret were revealed, the word of God prevailed. It was mighty. It grew mightily. That's why they want to shut you up. That's why they want to shut all of us up. Because if you reveal the things they're doing in secret, they lose their power and the word of God is glorified. There are things going on behind the scenes. I believe they ought to take every book written by Manly P. Hall and Claudie and all these other, Mackey and all these guys, and burn them. We'd have a Masonic book burning. Wouldn't that be great? Advertise it big. We're collecting Masonic books. Anybody got any laying around? Morals and dogma, morals of a dog, whatever. Bring them on. We'll have a bonfire. We'll put it in the paper. Burn, baby, burn. Come on. Wouldn't that be a great statement to make? Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. They made a statement of it. Here they are. We're burning them up. All these witchcraft books. You know, I've got actually pages of material run off that, some of the things that these people say. Albert Pike also said, the dunces who led primitive Christianity astray by substituting faith for science. Listen to that guy. Reverie for experience, the fantastic for the reality, and the inquisitors who for so many ages waged against magism, which is magic or sorcery, a war of extermination, have succeeded in shrouding in darkness the ancient discoveries, what's he saying, of the human mind. The ancient discoveries. This is the kind of books they burned back here. So that we now grope in the dark to find again the key of the phenomena of nature. But all natural phenomena depend on a single and immutable law represented by the Pratusfall stone and its symbolic form, which is that of the cube. That ashlar, that cube, that sacred stone that through the tools of masonry is perfected. What's going on behind the scenes? No, they've planned their work. They're working their plan. People today look at the world and they can't figure it out. Everybody knows there's something wrong. They have to know. All the empty buildings, all the empty houses. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, there'll be many great houses, notable houses, beautiful houses, empty! Then you got people living in great houses and they're burning up in California. Frequently and every so often, some big fire goes through there. You know when that fire started? It started the very day that Arnold Schwarzenegger said, "I am open to discussion on legalizing marijuana." They had another big fire right after they had this legislation for gay marriage, and then, of course, that was reversed and back and forth. But their agenda is going forward. But I've been watching these events and the judgment of God, and He'll come and give them one every time they do something like that. These are signs of His appearing. Come on. Our Lord cometh. No question about it. Now, hidden things, hidden causes, they are the only explanation for the trouble that we're now in. Turn back with me for a moment to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47, chapter 47. And I will tell you without any hesitation, reservation, or equivocation, terminology used by the Masons, but I will tell you without any hesitation that the United States of America in its current condition is no doubt Babylon. This is Babylon. You live in Babylon. Now, a lot of people don't like that because they figure the United States is the beacon of the world. Why, we are the moral beacon. We are the good guys. We do no wrong. Right? Isn't that the perception? All these other nations, they all got trouble. They all got problems. They're wicked, evil empires. But this one? This is one nation under God. Indivisible. Indivisible. Texas is doing some pretty strong talking about leaving the Union, and Oklahoma has voted, and the legislature in Oklahoma voted to become a sovereign state, separate and apart from the United States. The governor vetoed it, and the legislators overrode the veto. They said, if Obama's going to run this show, we want out of here. We don't need it. Now, remember that Russian scientist who said several months ago the United States is going to split into six different segments. We're starting to see it. It's starting to break apart. These are amazing times we're living in. Of course, I would be the first to say that Texas doesn't need the rest of the country. They do very well on their own. They've got quite a seaport there. They got a lot of oil, a lot of natural resources. And they don't need anything that the federal government would give them out of their benevolence. Is it a benevolent government or what? No. It is a top-heavy, grotesque monstrosity. And was never intended to be this way. And those who have been taught in the... If people have gone to college long enough to get that dumb, and that's the only way you can get that dumb, to where they think everything that's going on now is a great and wonderful thing. I had this little debate with a professor. Now, I just have an associate degree in marketing. I'm no big expert as far as they're concerned. But I was talking to a man who had a doctorate in marketing. And I said to him, we were having a little discussion about NAFTA. This is years ago. NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. And he said, oh, that's a wonderful thing. That'll prosper our country. I said, how can it? They're closing everything up, shipping it out. It prospers a few people at the top. You know, the ones that grabbed all the money and ran for the tall grass. Bonus, bonus, bonus time, right? Ship it all out where they work for 10 cents an hour. Give them all the rice they can eat. They won't complain. No, I told them it's going to destroy our country. Oh, no, I'm a professor. I ought to know. Taught marketing in the UW of Vermont, or UW, University of Vermont. No, 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 no. You know, we had NAFTA, and then we had CAFTA, and now we got the SHAFTA, right? Anyway, this nation is Babylon. Watch Isaiah 47. Let's look at this. Because there's a spiritual condition going on beneath the surface. As I said in The Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Huh? Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Things are going to change, you see. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Now, is this a nation that has its nakedness uncovered? Just wait till the weather warms up, if it ever does. No, it's in many ways, spiritually and physically. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. In other words, this nation is one that flaunts what it thinks it has. And it's almost like an indecent woman flaunting her what she thinks she has. Put it that way. And God said, don't pull that on me. That doesn't impress me at all. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. How many times has it been said that this nation was just the top of the world? Why, we had, see, after World War II, we had 85% of the world's wealth here, between here and England. Of course, then they had the Marshall Plan. Start handing it out. Of course, now, just with the TARP package for the banks and those in distress, we have exceeded the Marshall Plan by sixfold. You know, where we straightened out the entire world with our benevolence. Of course, those numbers don't mean anything to anybody. As long as they can get their entertainment, get their Hollywood, and get their 12-pack, and have fun, that's all they want. They don't want to hear about politics. They don't want to hear about God. They want the sun to come up. They want to get out their barbecue grill and put something on there and break open that 12-pack, 24 keg, whatever they're going to get, and go for it. That's the way people think or don't think. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. What's he saying here? Those that are in this nation that are Christian, those who are the people of God, they are the ones being oppressed by the system. And it is an oppressive system. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever. Well, after all, we have the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, don't we? Lifting up that big torch. You know, give me your poor, give me your distress. Yeah, right. A lady forever. Of course, that Statue of Liberty is a statue of a harlot, you know. When they had the French Revolution, which was fomented by the Illuminati in 1789, they started chopping heads off, 3 million of them, and the blood ran 6 inches deep down the cobblestone streets. And if you didn't join the mob, which was actually prompted to do what they did with fumes of hemp, they were high. And if you didn't join them against the ones who were suspect, you were suspect. Terrorism, right? You might be a terrorist. Huh? Do you buy almanacs? Do you homeschool? Are you against abortion? You may be a terrorist. According to Napolitano, is that how you pronounce it? Some of these Italian names, I love Italian people, but their names sometimes look like the bottom line on an eye chart. But all these people suspect, oh, terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. You might be a paper terrorist and write a strong letter to somebody. These are strange days. If a dog bites, it's a canine terrorist. The cat scratches, it's a feline terrorist. Everything's a terrorist. Meyer's a terrorist. He's up there preaching and bringing this stuff out. That's terror. He's terrorizing. You know what? Truth will terrorize evil. And that's the way it ought to be. Praise the Lord. And so here in Isaiah 47, he goes on with this thought. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures. Oh, there's nobody like that around, are there? Do you know what would happen if you take these pleasures away from people? People don't, you know, they can't imagine being without all of these things that the whole world of sports, the world of entertainment, Hollywood, all this. You know, in the old days, people used to go out and look at the sky and get inspired. I still remember when little children would go out and say, look, there's a ducky and a horsey, you know, and the clouds, you know, shaped like that. I don't think they know what a cloud looks like anymore. They don't look up. Their eyes are super glued to the idiot lantern or the computer monitor and all these games they play, all these satanic things, you know? All of this weird, these creatures, these role-playing games they get into. And the Lord said in verse 8, therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures and dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Nobody would ever attack this country, right? We'd never be attacked. You know, over in Russia, they had a big show of force this past weekend. In Red Square. I thought the communism was gone, didn't you? Didn't they tell us that? They were in Red Square They're in front of the Kremlin. The word Kremlin actually means fortress. They were parading nuclear missiles. And Medvedev said, nobody better mess with us. And he warned NATO to not try and pull any more exercises anywhere near Georgia. They're ready to go. Iran is ready to go. North Korea, remember a while back when they fired that missile to see what Obama would do? And Obama did nothing? He said, you better not. They won that battle. They were the winners. Nobody called them on it. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. One day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection. For the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. In America, we have sorcery, we have enchantments. Ministers reading Harry Potter materials to the children in children's classes. There was a Lutheran minister a while back, he dressed up like Harry Potter. You know, they're drawing people in that way. Look, we fill up our church with what? If I had free beer and bingo and free peanuts and all in the basement, hey, we'd be packed out. Door prizes and some rock band. Bring them right in. Yes, sir. That's what they think they're doing. But what are they getting? And so he's saying here that this judgment would come because of these sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in the wickedness, thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Perverted people in a perverted country, full of perverted religion, full of perverted secret societies, secretly managing all systems from a hidden vantage point. Not just the Freemasons, but working in conjunction with the Jesuits in the Catholic system. Got to get at least one little faint amen out of that. Remember that Dr. Adam Weishaupt was born a Jew, the son of a rabbi, but he was Jesuit trained and teaching canon law at Ingolstadt University when Rothschild retained him, hired him, paid him to formulate the plan of Illuminism, which is still ongoing. The clock is running. They forwarded it and forwarded it on to the people. Yeah, they assumed room temperature, but new people came along to carry the ball. Or shall I say the torch? Oh, they have all these symbols, you know. Remember that old Standard Oil? That torch? Torch of Illuminism? You expect more from Standard, and boy, do you get it. You know, look at their signs. Listen to the things they say. How about BP? Did you ever, that funny-looking blossom they got up there, whatever you want to call it? And count the little spokes on there once. See how many 18s or 36s he come up with. Which, by the way, the Russians have controlling interest in that. Of course, who controls the Russians? You know, it's kind of interesting back there. Remember when Khrushchev was in power? And he was busy hammering his shoe on the table saying, we will bury you. Remember that? That extra shoe he carried in his attaché case. He didn't bother taking one off. He carried a shoe with him for effect. Bang, bang, bang. We will bury you. Someday it's all going to be ours. And he'd be ranting about it, you know. And all of a sudden, David Rockefeller goes on a trip. The number one capitalist in the world goes on a trip. Where does he go for his two-week vacation? The Kremlin. He's over there visiting. And as soon as he came back, Khrushchev's out. Was that a coincidence? Or did the boss show up and fire the branch manager? Stuff like this happens all the time. They're things not seen, the invisible, the hidden things. That's the impetus of it all. That's where this is coming from. And so the Word of God tells us that these judgments will come forth and begin to reveal those hidden things, those perverted things. Verse 11 says, "Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it riseth." Terrorism. Who's the enemy? Is there a defined line? Could be anybody. Right? What are they going to do with all these people at Guantanamo? They're going to let them out. The countries don't want them back. So Obama said, "That's okay, we'll take them. Release them into the United States." Something's going on here. "Thou shalt not know whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know." It's going to happen so quickly. And everything we now see happening is leading up to it. I only have minutes left. But what I'm going to do is, if you turn to one more place in Scripture, you'd be surprised what you find in the Bible. You start reading it. But in Nahum chapter 3, now I want to tell you this. When God looks at Washington, D.C., for an example, he sees it differently than what people see. I've been there a couple of times, and people walk around and they're amazed. "Oh, look at this. It's the Washington Monument. Here's Jefferson's tomb. Here's the memorial. Here's the Lincoln Memorial. Look, there's the obelisk. There's the reflecting pool." They had one of those in Egypt. "There's an Oval Office in that White House. And 13 blocks away, there's the House of the Temple for Freemasonry, Scottish Rite. And all of these monuments, it's a city of marble, 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 like a mausoleum. It's all marble, marble, marble. Masonry and stone, masonry in more than one sense of the word." And people look at all of this that's built up there and they say, "Oh, this is where we have our roots." And, oh, you know, the patriotism. And this feeling comes over them and just ripples down their spine. They hold their hand over their heart and they're awe-stricken by it all. And then God looks at it. That Pentagon, that five-sided death house, earth, wind, water, fire, and spirit. Why does that have five sides? Is that energy efficient or something? Or is there some meaning to it? Some clandestine occult meaning that will draw power to its very existence? The five-pointed star, earth, wind, water, fire, and then, of course, the fifth element is spirit. All witches know that. But in Nahum chapter 3, very quickly now, God says, "Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not." Boy, if that isn't a description. "The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots." See, God used language that they understood back then. He didn't say weapons carriers and, you know, tanks and Humvees and all. No, he's using language they understand. "The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. Then there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses." This is all seen in prophecy. Now, we've killed 1 million Iraqis. You know, most of them were civilians. I'm not proud of that. And he says, "Because of the multitude of thy whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot," the favorite whore, Babylon, mystery, Babylon, mother of harlots, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms. Do we market nations? Oh, yes. And families through her witchcrafts. Are families controlled? Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. It's supposed to be an embarrassment when the wind blows the skirt above the face, isn't it? God says, I'm going to reveal your secrets. And I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee. Has this nation had abominable filth cast upon it? And make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. People look at it and they can't believe it. How can any people, any nation be so vile? Again, the message title, Hidden Causes. Things are happening because there are those who want it to be this way and have gained the power and authority temporarily to bring it to pass. But you and I, as the children of God, we echo the words of Jesus from our own hearts. My kingdom is not of this world. This world is not my home. I'm only here for a while. And then I will be gathered, we'll all be gathered unto him as he pours his wrath upon this earth. The Middle East is about to explode. The entire earth is on the very brink of destruction right now. And regardless of what the newspapers tell you in way of encouragement, we know what the Bible says. Judgment will come upon all sin, and when sin reaches a saturation point, the mighty hand of God will fall upon it. But you and I can rejoice in the hope of his resurrection. You know, I'll just close by saying that I mentioned it's Wednesday night. Opie is in trouble now. Ron Howard, because he put together that new movie. It's coming out on the 15th, Angels and Demons, where it shows some of the inner workings of the Vatican and the Illuminati and so forth. And the Pope and the Vatican, they're just furious with this guy. Little Opie. You know, he still wears a baseball cap. He's got that same face. Just bigger now. I think it's rather interesting. But see, the Jesuits, the general of the order, the black pope, and all the, there is a lot going on there that people aren't seeing. The black pope controls the other guy. The Jesuits are a subversive secret order, working in conjunction with Opus Dei, conspiratorially. And maybe I can get into that a little more very soon. But right now, we're out of time. We do have a baptism to do. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, today to be able to look into thy holy word. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst inspire us to call upon thee all the more. For, Lord, thou wilt hear us. When thy people cry out, thou dost hear from heaven. And very soon we know great events will take place in this world. And everyone is going to know that thou art the living God. But for many, it will be too late. Lord, let our hearts now be moved. Let us be drawn to thee. Let us yield and surrender our hearts unto thee, O God, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. O Lord, give us victory in the Holy Ghost. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.